We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello there, and welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Crawford. Today is Saturday, March 18th. And this episode is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy and Fantrax. Today's episode, just going to be me. And I'm going to be answering your fantasy questions. A bunch of you sent over a lot of good stuff, and I'll do my best to get to everything. For those of you who are watching on YouTube, please feel free to send in your questions, and I'll do my best to get to everything. But got a lot of good stuff here, and really appreciate you guys sending over some good stuff. And we're going to start with Jordan Walker. Buddy asked, where are you ranking Jordan Walker? So when I got this question, I thought I was going to like give you a literal answer of where I'm ranking him for in terms of at least outfielders. But I think it's probably just better to give you a better idea of the outfielders I'm taking ahead of Walker and the outfielders that I'm drafting behind Walker. So for instance, I am not taking Jordan Walker over guys like Eloy Jimenez, Teoscar Hernandez, Christian Yelich, Giancarlo Stanton, Chris Bryant, Corbin Carroll, I believe I already said, Luis Robert, Luis Robert. Those are guys that I'm certainly not touching. But let me give you an idea of some outfielders I'm taking him over. And I think it should give you a pretty good idea of how in I am on this guy. I'm taking him over Ian Happ. I'm taking him over Riley Green. I'm taking him over Alex Verdugo. I am taking him over Andrew Benintendi. I'm taking him over anything in the like Oakland A outfield like Seth Brown and Ramon Laureano. I'm taking him over Masataka Yoshida. I'm taking him over Oscar Gonzalez. I am taking him over Michael Conforto. I'm taking him over Jock Peterson. I'm taking him over Brian De La Cruz. That's a little easier to say now because we're not even sure when the heck that guy's going to be on the roster. I'm taking him over Austin Hayes. So I think that probably puts him in that outfielder 35 to 40 range. And I can deal with the fact that he's probably not going to be on the roster for a little bit. It's a little risky. There's no doubt about it. But I can deal with that. I'd rather have the upside of Jordan Walker than those guys that I mentioned at the end. You can't take him over bona fide starting well above average outfielders like the guys I named at the beginning of that. But I think you can take him over all of those guys. And some of it depends on what league you're playing in. Obviously, a little more value in an NL-only league for Jordan Walker than an AL-only league. But I do think that he has a chance to be a really good fantasy player. Somebody in YouTube asks, Newt Barr or Walker? Give me Walker. And I like Newt Barr. I think that ideally, I'd love to have both. I would like to have Newt Barr for when until Walker is actually a part of this major league team. Because if somebody put some sort of thing to my head and said, hey, is Jordan Walker going to make the opening day roster? I probably guess no. He should. He absolutely should. But I don't think it's such a lock. And I do think that they may be able to get away, especially with the shoulder injury now, of saying, hey, we want to get this guy some time in AAA. A lot of organizations, you know, it's a little different now because there's a chance that Jordan Walker is the rookie of the year. There's more than a chance. If there was somebody was asking me to make a bet on who would win NL rookie of the year, he might be my choice. So I like Jordan Walker a lot. He's probably going in the 11th or 12th round for me. And maybe that's an overdraft. I'm okay with that. I would much rather, and I've said this on a lot of podcasts in my life, I would much rather have Jordan Walker and deal with the fact, it's much easier for me to say, dang it, I took this guy too early, than dang it, I don't have this guy at all. Give me the upside and the feeling of, oh, well, I shot for the moon over, oh, crap, why didn't I take that chance? Because if Jordan Walker is the player that we think we are, and by the way, this rookie class is just loaded. Gunnar Henderson, Corbin Carroll, Jordan Walker, Grayson Rodriguez, just a bunch of guys who are going to be fantasy relevant real soon. But yeah, I'm all in on Jordan Walker. As close to all in as you could be. Obviously, again, I did name quite a few outfielders that I would take ahead of him, but I am a big-time believer in Jordan Walker's talent. Somebody asked, is Brady House worth a roster spot in Dynasty Leagues? Yeah, I think so. It's, again, it kind of depends on the format that you're playing in and how many players you're keeping. It would certainly have to be a keep forever type of league because I don't think he's making his major league debut for a couple of seasons. But even with the move to third base, I do think Brady House has a chance to be fantasy relevant. Big time power in his bat, and he should be a quality third baseman. And it's worth pointing out here too, third base is maybe a better position for hope for fantasy because shortstop's got some pretty good stuff. Third base, I don't know if you've looked at it lately, not so great. And in terms of quality young talent, there's not a, you know, Gunnar Henderson is going to be a stalwart there. And I'm still a big believer in Alec Boehm and a little bit in Key Brian Hayes as well, but it is a top-heavy position to be sure. Yeah, I think Jordan Brady House is absolutely worth a guy is a guy that I would want on my roster. It would again depend on the form because I don't think we're seeing him until 2025 at the very earliest, and there is some injury concern there. There's a bunch of swing and miss concern for me there because of his size and because of the length of his swing, but there could be plus power. And I think the Nationals are doing the right thing in moving him to third base now and saying, this is your position. You're the guy for the future at this place. Go do it. And I think if he reaches his max potential, you're talking about a guy who can hit 260, 270, a decent on-base percentage with 30 to 35 home runs, maybe even more. So, yeah, in my personal opinion, that's absolutely worth a roster spot in Dynasty Leagues. It's just if you're valuing like top 100 guys, it's closer to the bottom, if not just outside of it, than somebody who was a potential top 50 prospect when he was drafted as a shortstop. I can keep one of Christian Javier, Kevin Gausman, and Max Fried. Who would you keep? Won't be able to keep either in 2024. This is a really good one, and this is a really tough one because I think all three of those guys are pretty similar. I'll take Gausman. I think he's a little bit more likely of those three to miss bats. I'm not a Max Fried doom scroller like a lot of people seem to be. I do think that he has been fortunate with some of his results, but certainly a quality pitcher for a very good baseball team. Same for Christian Javier. Very good pitcher for a very good baseball team. But I trust Gausman a little bit more, and I think he might be the guy who misses more bats and provides more innings as well and more quality innings. And, you know, I think he had a very underrated year. You could argue that he deserved to win the Cy Young last year. He was just really efficient and gave strong quality performances pretty much throughout the season. I love that Blue Jays lineup. I've picked that Blue Jays team to win the World Series. It seems like 15 years in a row, but I think it's only been two. Yeah, give me Gausman, and then if you were going to make me rank him, I would go Gausman, Fried, Javier. And a lot of people are higher on Fried than me, and I get it. I do think that he has a chance to, once again, be a solid starting pitcher. I just think the profile adds a little more volatility, and maybe at some point he's going to see less quality results. But yeah, I think I would go with Gausman in that case. That's a really good question. All right, somebody asked me to name my best sleeper by position. I'm not going to do a sleeper. I'm going to give you some guys that I think are being well underdrafted, and I think that probably adds up to the same thing. At catcher, I think Cal Raleigh has a chance to be a top 6 to 7 catcher this year. Big believer in his power. Very unlucky with BABIP luck last year and really started to figure things out at the end. It's not a question of talent with him. I think he's going to be hitting in the middle of the Seattle lineup, which will give him plenty of chances to drive in runs. I don't think he's going to be like a 280 hitter or anything like that, but he's a much better hitter for average than the 211 or whatever the heck it was average was last year. I think he'll be a contributor in a bunch of categories, and he would be somebody that I feel very comfortable with being my catcher one outside of the big three. I don't think he's going to necessarily be catcher four. It wouldn't shock me, though. And I definitely think he's going to be somewhere in that 6, 7, 8 range as long as he stays healthy. At first base, Jake Cronenworth. I really like Cronenworth. I think a lot of people are down on him just because of the 2022, and that's fair. And first base is a loaded position. But if there's a big run on guys, I feel kind of confident with him, and he will be eligible for first base in the majority of leagues. I think he's going to score some runs. I really love the Padres lineup. Big shock there with all of the guys that they have. Just looking at that lineup that they lined up today, holy, you know what? There could be a ton of run scoring opportunities and chance to drive in runs too, because a lot of those guys are going to get on base at a very high clip. I do like Cronenworth as a very nice bounce back candidate for 2023. Second base, same thing, Jonathan India. Look, he was bad last year and was injury prone as well. But let's not forget how good this guy looked in 2021. Like, this guy looked like he was going to be on his way to becoming a strong, strong second base one for the future. And, you know, second base isn't the weakest position, but I do think he has a chance to be in that top 10 to 12. And he's not being drafted like that. I've seen a lot of drafts where he's drafted 14, 15, 16. I would bet on bounce back for Jonathan India. He'd be somebody I'd love to have in my middle infield. Third base, and this is just a little bit more gut than anything else, Anthony Rendon. Like, I realize the injury stuff too. Like, there's no doubt about it that if you have him, you're going to want a nice backup just in case. And really, let's not even call it just in case, for when Rendon has to go on the injured list. But when he's at his best, and it's not like this guy is turning 40 or something like that, folks. When he's at his best, he was a guy that we were talking about. Man, is he kind of on a Hall of Fame track? Or at least I was. Because he can do a little bit of everything. And I think the Angels lineup is going to be much better. I'm just kind of gut feeling betting on a Rendon bounce back. If this becomes a freezing cold take, so be it. But I really do think, I'll say right now that Anthony Rendon is a top 10 third baseman in 2023. Boy, oh boy, can I look foolish for that one. At shortstop, look, I'm a prospect guy. Ezekiel Tovar, I really like him for 2023. I really like him for the long term as well, and I think he has a chance to be a shortstop one as well. I love the bat-to-barrel skills. I think the power isn't great, but he plays in a park at home. I don't know if you guys have heard about it. Coors Field, ball tends to travel pretty well there. So I think he can be a contributor in that category a little bit as well. Has the speed to steal some bases, a lock to stick in the lineup because he's such a good defender. I really like Tovar. I think that he's more high floor than high ceiling in terms of like a real life player. But in terms of fantasy, because of the fact that I think he can do, again, a little bit of everything, I think he's being undervalued in drafts. I've seen him often being drafted in that 18, 19, 20 range for shortstops. I think he's closer to the top half, and it would not shock me at all if he was a shortstop one. Let's see here. Outfield, Jared Kelnick. I know, I totally get it, but I am a believer in Jared Kelnick and the swing changes, and I think it's worth pointing out that this is still a 23-year-old, and there have been enough flashes for me to go, okay, this guy's going to figure it out someday. And it's not even really so much about spring training, although it is wonderful to see him repeating his swing. It's more about the fact that sometimes baseball's really hard. And sometimes it just takes a little bit for these guys to figure things out. He's saying all of the right things. I can't draft him in like the top 150 for those who are asking. Yes, I would take Jordan Walker over Jared Kelnick. Nobody asked, but you know, since we just talked about it not too long ago, yeah, I'm taking Walker over Kelnick. But if you can get him in that 200 range, you have a chance to have something really, really nice, because I think he's going to steal bases. I know he's going to hit for at least some power. There's no question about that. And I think the average is going to be up. Now, average being up for Jared Kelnick is a little bit darning with faint praise based on what we've seen in the past. But I do believe that he has a chance to be a contributor in a bunch of categories this year. Please, please, please prove me right, Jared. At starting pitcher, look, we've talked about it in all of our preview categories. Drew Rasmussen. I know that some people have fear of taking Tampa Bay starters. Is he going to be throwing seven innings every time out? No, he's not. There's going to be some 4 to 6 inning starts. And unfortunately, those 4 inning ones can really bite you. But he throws strikes. He gets hitters to swing at pitches outside of the strike zone. I think he's a great candidate for WHIP. I think he's a great category for ERA. Way undervalued. Somebody that I would want to be my starting pitcher 3 or 4 for sure on my fantasy team. And then at relief pitcher, a little bit of a gut thing again, but Jose Leclerc, I really like Texas this year. It is a baseball team that I think is much better than their record last year was, and then they got some really nice pieces again this year. I think there are some players that are going to bounce back. Corey Seager was just unbelievably unlucky with some BABIP stuff. I think Leclerc is going to be that closer, and I think he's got a chance to save 35 to 40 games. And it's not a lock that he's going to come out of here, and he did have a neck problem, it's worth pointing out. But if I can get him in that 180, 190 range, or like a relief pitcher 13 or 14, I'm really thrilled, because I do think he is the guy who has the best chance to save games, and I do believe that the Texas Rangers are going to give him a lot of chances for that. So yeah, those aren't necessarily sleepers, but those are guys who I think are being severely undervalued for 2023. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be back to answer more of your questions right after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The fantasy baseball season is underway, and there's no better place to play than Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy baseball. Right now, Underdog has MLB best ball tournaments live, including the Dinger, which has $500,000 in total prizes. In best ball, all you're doing is joining a contest, you draft your team, and that is it. There are no waivers, no trades, and no in-season management. You draft 20 rounds of players, and you get the best cumulative scores in your starting lineup. That's 3 pitchers, 3 infielders, 3 outfielders, and 1 flex each week of the regular season. And getting started is simple. go to underdogfantasy.com, sign up with the promo code RWMLB, and not only will Underdog double your initial deposit up to $100, but you'll also get 6 months of our RotoWire subscription for free. Again, that's Underdog Fantasy, promo code RWMLB. Draft your $100,000 dinger team today. And if you're looking for a place to customize your fantasy league and play a variety of formats, can't recommend Fantrax enough. You create the scoring system that you want to play with. Waivers, categories, scoring system, schedule. Fantrax offers custom solutions for all that and more, and it's all free. I am in several Fantrax leagues. I'm starting a couple more. Just finished a draft of a first-year Dynasty draft, and it couldn't have been smoother because of Fantrax. And they're second to none, whether you're playing Redraft, Dynasty Keeper, or any other format. If you sign up for free today, you could be entered to win an official MLB-signed jersey from Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He's pretty good. All fantasy users will also be entered in their MLB Game Day Experience giveaway, which includes free tickets and $1,000 for travel and accommodations for you and your league mates. Simply go to fantrax.com/rotowire and sign up today. That's fantrax.com/rotowire. Fantrax, the home of fantasy sports. All right, let's get back into your questions. And again, we really appreciate everybody who sent stuff in. A buddy of mine, I was surprised, almost expecting this to be RJ himself, but he would never pat himself on the back. Loved your draft talk with RJ Anderson. Who would you say goes first in a dynasty draft from that class? And again, thank you to RJ. And if you want to go back, that was an episode that we did on Thursday where we talked about some MLB draft prospects to keep an eye on for the 2023 season. I tend to agree with RJ, and I would say it's Dylan Cruz. It's mostly about the fact that he has, if I have the first pick, I want to have the best combination of ceiling and floor, but mostly I want to go with ceiling, which is why I would consider another guy for this position. But I think Cruz offers the best combination of that. It could easily be on the 2080 scouting scale, 70 hits, 70 power, and we're talking about 60 run as well, an above-average arm, a solid, if unspectacular, outfielder. It doesn't have the elite upside of necessarily some of the other number one picks that we've seen in the past decade, or the past century, I guess I should say. He probably competes with most of the guys who've gone first. But really high floor. It is very difficult for me to see Dylan Cruz not being at least a starting outfielder. I might argue that, look, if you're having that pick, I might argue that Wyatt Langford has a little bit more upside because I think his power might be better. And look, we all know that power is the name of the game here. And it's great to have the average as well. No question about that. I think he's going to have a close to that hit tool, 55 to 60. This guy can hit the ball out of the ballpark, and he has above average speed as well. I mean, this was a guy who hit 26 homers last year and is off to a very nice start, or was off to a very nice start, unfortunately, before a groin injury. Those would be the two guys I would be considering. I can't take a pitcher in that spot. Can't take somebody like Jacob Gonzalez, even though I like him. Enrique Bradfield is a little bit interesting just because of that 80 grade speed, and he has a chance to be a major stolen base threat. Really do think he has a chance to be special there. But if I'm drafting 1-1 in a dynasty league and you're only taking guys from the 2023 MLB draft, I'm going with Dylan Cruz. Third pick in AL-only draft. Who would you take, assuming Rodriguez and Judge are off the board? This is a really good question. You don't see a ton of AL-only league stuff, so kudos to you for playing in an AL-only league. It seems that NL-only is the format that most go with. So yeah, I do think that those are the top two pretty easily. I would go Rodriguez over Judge, and not just because I'm a biased Mariner fan, it's because I think Rodriguez has the best chance of filling out the five categories. So it would depend a little bit on if you're playing weekly or daily format here. If you're playing daily format and you are playing in a league where he counts as both a pitcher and a hitter, I think you know where I'm going here, I would take Shohei Ohtani. If you were playing in a weekly league, I'd probably go with Kyle Tucker. That would be my third choice off the board. It's a pretty, not substantial difference, like because if you're going by tiers, I think there's a clear tier one with Julio Rodriguez and Aaron Judge. And then I'd put those guys in a tier below those guys. It's not horrific by any stretch of the imagination. Unless, of course, Ohtani count is a weekly guy and you can play him in both, just because I think he's going to have an outstanding season. And Lord knows that the free agent bump could be something to definitely keep an eye on here. But if it's in a weekly league, I think I go with Kyle Tucker, just because I think he's going to come close-ish to replicating the numbers that you could get from a normal season Aaron Judge. We're not talking about last year, which was just incredible to even think about. Or if Julio Rodriguez maxes out and has, you know, bumps up big time from his sophomore season. By the way, I do think it's possible Julio Rodriguez has a better season with worse numbers in 2023. Just because there's some stuff that he's going to have to work through that every second year player does. I love him to death. I'd seriously consider him with the number one overall pick, and he could come close to justifying that if his rates are even close to what they were in his first season. He could be a little bit worse than that, and you could justify it too. But I do think it's possible he's better while also having a slight downtick in numbers, still taking him very, very highly. Don't get me wrong. Love you, Julio. But if I had that third pick, I'd probably go Tucker in weekly, Ohtani in daily. It's pretty close, though. How much stock should we be putting into Ronny Mauricio's power last year in his spring training? Does he even have a role with the Mets, especially with Lindor and Jet Williams, plus Escobar, Beatty, Vientos seemingly blocking him? Also, can you close for the Mets? Money is no object. First of all, I'm happy to. I'll talk to RotoWire. I'm sure they'll let me go spend a few hours for the Mets. I didn't throw very hard in high school, but I'm sure that as a 40-year-old who is not in the greatest shape, what could go wrong? I'll happily do that. By the way, Edwin Diaz's injury is just such a bummer. Such a bummer. I was really looking forward to watching him pitch. I'll look forward to watching him pitch for the rest of his life. As a biased Mariner fan who really liked him and has enjoyed watching him for his time with the Mets. As for Ronny Mauricio, I think you could put some stock in the power. There is a good chance for him to be on the 2080 scale, 55 to 60 grade power hitter. And I think he's a pretty solid defender at short. Does he have a role with the Mets? I'm not so sure about that for the reasons that you just lined up. Francisco Lindor ain't going nowhere. And Jet Williams is, I think, probably long-term the better shortstop prospect. I have Mauricio ranked ahead, but it's mostly because of Jet Williams just having so little experience at the professional level. It's not so much about Escobar and Beatty and those guys, because I think Mauricio is a shortstop. But I think if you're talking about a prospect to move for a closer, I think he makes an awful lot of sense as the guy to be put in there. So if you have Ronny Mauricio, I would be actually encouraged by that for a fantasy person, because I think the fact that he could be joining a different organization and be the shortstop of the future for somebody else is much more encouraging. I think he could be a decent third baseman, but I think that's Beatty's position long term. You could possibly move him to the outfield. That would be a little bit weird. By the way, we are still kind of waiting a word on Brandon Nimmo's injury. For those who missed it, it looked like it was a knee injury, but they actually said it was right ankle soreness. It's an interesting one, because he looked to be in significant pain. Buck Showalter seemed to be cautiously optimistic, but as of this recording, we're not sure there. Definitely something to keep in mind if you roster Brandon Nimmo. It is definitely something, though, with Mauricio, that I think he's going to have to change organizations in order to reach his dynasty. A couple more. I play in a deep dynasty two catcher league, and I've been offered Adley Rutschman, who I can keep forever. But I have to give up Jackson Churio, Marcelo Mayer, and Reed Detmers, plus some draft picks to get him. Worth it. Oh, boy. Yeah. I don't think so. And it's only because of the fact that you have to give up two top 10 prospects to get him. And again, I love Adley Rutschman. Or not again. Well, for those of you who've followed me for a while, you know how much I love Adley Rutschman. I think he has a chance to be the best catcher in baseball. And that's kind of underselling it, because I think he has a chance to be one of the best players in baseball. But in terms of fantasy, I mean, he's going to be very, very good, and I think he's going to be very good this year. I'm drafting him as my catcher three in leagues. But you're talking about the guy who I think is the best fantasy catcher in baseball, a top 10 prospect in Marcelo Meyer. The Reed Detmers thing doesn't bug me. The draft picks, it would depend on how high the draft picks are. Oh, that's a lot to give up. I think Jackson Chourio has a chance to be special, and I think he has a chance to be special as soon as next year. And look, the outfield versus catcher thing, but if it was just Rutschman for Chourio, yeah, I think I would do that. Adding Meyer and then adding a potential starting pitcher, three or four, and some picks to do it, I think I would pass on that, and that's hard for me to say. And especially in a two-catcher league where you can keep Adley Rutschman in perpetuity, it's very hard for me to say I would not do a trade. I think I would turn that one down. Man, that is a tough one. By the way, if somebody brings up for the NL thing, Jose Ramirez at three, I could definitely see that as well. And I'm probably underrating Jose Ramirez. I do tend to do that, even though I seem to draft him pretty high, but I always seem to have him a little lower on lists. Yeah, Jose Ramirez absolutely in that conversation for three. I think you could argue Tucker and Otani ahead of him. I may be a crazy person, but I think you can. Somebody asks, who will have a better fantasy career, Chourio or Jackson Holliday? Give me Chourio all day. And again, that's no insult to Jackson Holliday. Don't know why I keep saying again. It doesn't matter. Jackson Holliday, I think, has a chance to be a really good shortstop. But we're talking about a bunch of 55 and 60 hit tools and maybe a little bit better real-life performer than a fantasy one. Obviously, a lot of value in that in terms of fantasy as well. But Jackson Chourio has a bunch of chances to get to 70 grades. Hit, power, speed, glove. Probably not quite there with glove and definitely not there with arm, although he has made a couple of nice throws in spring training, which has been nice to see. I'm all in on Jackson Chourio. 100% my number one fantasy prospect, and it's pretty substantial. Like, it's a pretty big lead. Yeah, give me Jackson Chourio in that battle for sure. We'll see how stupid I look in a couple of years. Final question, and I like this one. Are Ethan Salas or Felnin Celestine top 100 fantasy prospects, or rather, should they be treated as such in dynasty drafts? No. I don't think either one is a top 100 fantasy prospect right now, just because of the fact that neither one really has any professional experience. It was seeing Ethan Salas catch a actual Cactus League game, and I know it's exhibition season. That's so impressive, and that's such a great thing for the Padres to give him that opportunity to do that. And Ethan Salas has a chance to be a major mover. Like, if you want to treat him like, if you're drafting right now, if for international leagues, he's number one with a bullet, like an easy number one, because catcher who can hit for average and power potentially, and a pretty much, from what I've talked to and what I've seen in very small samples, a lock to stick behind the plate, number one. But I would say Celestine is number two, and he might have the higher upside, a switching shortstop with power. I think he's got a swing that suggests he can hit for average. Got a bunch of rave reviews about his baseball acumen. The Mariners love this kid. So, yeah, they're definitely players that I would be drafting in dynasty leagues, especially for probably wouldn't draft him. Well, I might take Salas in a start, like a starting dynasty league. It's easy for me to see him going in those first 35 to 40 rounds. Celestine maybe as well, but just because shortstop is so good, I'd probably leave him off. But both of those guys are names that you have to know because they are not far away from being stars, or excuse me, not far away from being top 100 fantasy prospects. And their ceiling competes with any prospects in baseball outside of like Chourio right now. That's going to do it for us. I want to thank our sponsors, Underdog Fantasy and Fantrax. You can follow me on Twitter at Crawford_MILB. Please hit like, please hit subscribe, please follow all of our social stuff at RotoWire, at RotoWire MLB. We really appreciate the support, and we will see you next time. This is fun.